hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump, and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union.
Tonight we got our fans.
Yeah! Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice.
The only thing you can control is when you shower tonight and you look yourself in the mirror, you're going to say that you have to be able to say to yourself, I gave everything I had tonight for my teammates. And if you can't say that, shame on you.
Here's your host, Bob McGallagher.
It's a hump day party song. Turn up them speakers and sing along. All week trying to make a dollar, listening to that boss man holler. Take a look, and what do I see? Middle of the week, halfway free. It's party time tonight.
And it is going to be party time at Nationwide Arena tonight as the Buffalo Sabres invade town to take on the Blue Jackets for the first time this year. Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. Well, the Blue Jackets have been waiting ever since Sunday morning. They lost on Saturday night, their second loss in a row, so they've been waiting since Sunday morning to try to avenge that latest loss, and they will get their opportunity tonight against the Sabres. The Blue Jackets, in the midst of a four-game homestand, they have dropped the first two games of this homestand to the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Los Angeles Kings. They don't feel like they necessarily played badly enough that they shouldn't have won either one of those games. But they didn't win either one of those games. So that's just been kind of sticking in their craw for the last few days. They had the day off Sunday. Then they had practice Monday. They had practice yesterday. They've been trying to work through a whole bunch of stuff. And tonight they get to find out if they were able to work through it. And they're going to be getting an advantage, perhaps. The advantage is the Buffalo Sabres played last night. They got a win on home ice over the Detroit Red Wings. 1-0 was the final score in that game. Their new head coach, Phil Housley, who was a former assistant coach with the Nashville Predators, hopes that he has them moving in the right direction. We're going to find out. But being the second half of a back-to-back for them, the Blue Jackets should or could have an advantage. It all depends who you ask. And maybe they get the backup goaltender tonight, although Chad Johnson's that backup goaltender, and he has a very good record in his career against the Blue Jackets. If they go with Robin Lehner for a second night in a row, Leonard got the shutout last night, and he's gone over 90 minutes without giving up a goal. So there are a lot of things that are up in the air. There's a lot of things you have to find out. And for the Blue Jackets, the only way they find out the answer to all of these things is by playing the game, and they'll get to do that tonight. I'll have a lot more on the Buffalo Sabres coming up here in just a bit when I talk with Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, who covers the Sabres expertly. So we'll talk with him about that. But for the Blue Jackets, I know what they're going to say when asked. They are going to say it is about our game. It's about us doing what we are supposed to do. And if we do that, we're going to have success. And that's always a standard answer, but it's also a very true answer. And don't forget, they are getting their own challenges tonight put in front of them besides just having lost two in a row. They also lost their fourth-line centerman, Lucas Sedlak, for the next 6 weeks with an ankle injury he suffered in practice on Monday. So they're looking to fill holes. Zach Dalpe will move in there and try to fill that hole tonight. They have questions of their own, again, that they want to answer, and you only answer them when you play the game. So this should be an interesting one tonight. But staying with that whole mantra of taking care of your own game and taking care of home ice, I think that's something that really is bothering these guys. They need to take care of home ice. They need to get their wins at home at Nationwide Arena. And I had a chance to catch up with Matt Calvert and ask him about the importance of getting a win at home tonight.
It's big. You know, obviously we've lost two in a row on home ice, and you know, our fans have been great for us, cheering loud for us, and something we really pride ourselves in last year. I thought we worked at it throughout the year, and we became a hard team to play at home. I know teams don't like hearing that cannon, so you know, it's a goal of ours every night when we're on home ice to get that thing booming.
Are you trying too hard at home? I know when you're on the road, it's easy to play the boring game, and you're not trying to put on a show. Have you been guilty of maybe trying to do too much?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think we have that mindset in here. You know, when you're on the road, you just go play, and you know, you can put more emphasis on, you know, you have to show up more and be great at home. But you know, I don't think that's the mindset in here right now. You know, I think it's a few things we can clean up in our game, and it'll start resulting in wins.
It'll be tough being without Lucas Sedlak for a couple of weeks, but that's the hand that you're dealt, and it again, it'll test the depth on this team, won't it?
Yeah, it was a tough break. Obviously, you know, in practice, you don't expect to see that happen, especially for the length of time he's expected to be out. But you know, he brings a lot to the table with the penalty kill, and you know, just being another solid centerman on our team. And you know, with us struggling a bit on faceoffs, there's going to be guys that have to step up into that center role. You know, Dulps looks like he's coming to the lineup tomorrow. And, you know, it's just another opportunity for another guy. So excited to see what he can bring tomorrow. And, you know, like you said, test the depth and see what we got.
I wanted to ask you about Zach Dalpe. He's a guy that he's not really an older veteran guy, but he's a guy that's been around a couple different organizations. He brings a lot of experience in here. How much does that help you, just his personality and his experience?
Yeah, we're actually the same age. So I think we were drafted together, too. It's years ago now. But, yeah, and a former Ohio State Buckeye, might I add, for the fans here. So they'll be cheering for him. But it's great to have him around. You know, we got so many young guys like Sonny Milano cruising around this room. It's great to have an older veteran guy that's been around pro hockey for a while in the room.
That is Blue Jackets forward Matt Calvert, and talking about Zach Dalpe there. He kind of lit up when he talked about Dalpe. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that he's just a likable guy. I know he's got to play the game and he's got to be able to put up points and have defensive responsibilities and all that, but I think that was a good person to bring in. I talked a number of days ago about how hard it is to find out the personalities of people, but how important it is to do so to see if they're going to fit with your group. I believe that Zach Dalpe does fit with this group really well, and they'll be behind him tonight for sure. They will totally be behind him. For Matt Calvert, speaking of behind him, Anze Kopitar got behind him right at the end of the game and scored the tie-breaking goal on Saturday. And for Calvert, I'm sure that's been bugging him personally for the last couple of days. And he'll be better tonight, which is kind of tough to say because he played a terrific game up until that point. It was one of those examples of making one mistake and it costing you the game. But it really wasn't fair because he was outstanding prior to that Kopitar goal, Kopitar's second goal of the game. Marcus Nuttavaara came back from Cleveland a little while ago. What's it been, a week and a half or so now? And he has been, first of all, I think he's been unnoticeable in many ways, which is a compliment because he's not making mistakes. In other ways, he's getting that puck up the ice. And John Tortorella always says what he likes the most about Nuttavaara is the way he gets that first pass to the forwards. And he has been terrific at that. No surprise. This is a guy that came out of nowhere last year and won a spot on the starting roster out of training camp after being a seventh-round pick who had just gotten signed the previous summer, and nobody really even knew who he was. Well, the organization knew who he was, and the NHL soon found out who he was. Then he got injured in the second half of last year, an injury he played through, but it eventually sidelined him, and by the playoffs, he was out in favor of Gabriel Carlson. But he's back, and he took the hard road back. He got sent to Cleveland. First time in his NHL career, he got sent to the minor leagues and had to go down to Cleveland and play a couple of games. And he found out that life in the minors, and the game in the minors, more importantly, isn't like the game in the NHL. I had a chance to catch up with Marcus Nuttavaara and talk with him about all of that.
I was just going to ask you how nice it is to be back.
So nice. Like, I'm enjoying every day, and every time I wake up, it's I'm enjoying. Like, it's way more fun. Yeah.
Were you disappointed when you got sent down? Was it tough for you to deal with at the time?
Of course it was. Of course, like, I was disappointed to myself. Like, but I knew what I had to do and get better, and I think I'm in better shape now.
What did you find out about the American Hockey League and how different the game is there than it is here?
It's much more clear here, and it's way harder to play there. I think so. And, yeah, I feel a lot more like home here.
Not only feel like you're at home, but it looks like you're healthy again. And that's very noticeable. How good do you feel right now?
I'm feeling good, like a lot better than last year. And I can actually enjoy the game right now.
How tough was it for you last year? And you made it look like you were fine, but you were battling through the second half and to the playoffs, weren't you?
Yeah, it was like some days were worse and some days were good. And it's like you just got to battle through, like, every player has something, and I had something like that, so you just got to battle.
Looks like you and Ryan Murray have very quickly formed a pretty good pair back there. How comfortable are you with him?
He's a great guy in the locker room and on the ice, so I can't wish better be pair.
How? What kind of things you feel that you've worked on and gotten better on with your game?
I have been working a lot, like a mental part, just to be ready on the first shift and stay sharp the whole game. Like the minutes are pretty tough for me, and you're just gonna keep sharp, like stay sharp all around the game.
This you guys have lost the last two, so how important is it to get back on track in this game against the Sabres?
It's very important. Very important. We, I think we need to win, and I feel like we've been playing good, and just we don't have any luck there, and no bounces, and we're getting some bad bounces. So we have to just work harder and get that luck for us.
That's Blue Jackets defenseman Marcus Nuttavaara. Man, you talk about having even more of an appreciation for the NHL. Go to the American Hockey League for a week or two, and that'll do it for you. But as he said, it is a much harder game down there. And sometimes people don't understand why. And I'll tell you exactly why. Because things don't fall into place the way they normally do. What happens there is you've got a lot of young guys, and you have everybody trying to make an impression. So unlike the NHL where, you know, you're in this spot because that's a spot where you should be. You're in that spot because that's a spot you should be in. All of a sudden there, it's a scramble. And guys are all over the place because they're trying to make a steal of a pass. They're trying to nail a guy in open ice when they probably should just back off and play a little bit of defense. They're trying to make an impression, and they're going 100 miles an hour at all times. So it is more of a scramble. So it's more difficult for defensemen especially because you're expecting to be in a certain position as you're defending and the forwards are coming in on you, and all of a sudden they don't go by the book. I'll tell you right now, when I went to Traverse City and did the games in Traverse City there, and that was even below the American Hockey League as far as the talent, to be honest. But I was watching the game, and I was like, what is going on here? Why did this guy not do this? Why did this guy not do that? Well, it's the same thing because it is just a scramble with everybody trying to make an impression. Guys weren't driving the net and getting in front of the goaltender and trying to pound the puck on him. They would drive in and then all of a sudden go with a backhanded pass into the slot, which was getting knocked away or picked off or just completely missed the guy. And that's not how it goes in the NHL. So Marcus Nuttavaara got a little lesson, but he's been great since he's come back. And you can hear from the way he talks, and which, by the way, the English has improved since last year. Everything has improved since last year for Marcus Nuttavaara. Very good guy to have around, and I know his teammates appreciate not only his play, but his personality as well. Well, I had a chance to catch up with the Blue Jackets captain, Nick Foligno. I haven't really had, to this point, a good, long sit-down one-on-one with the captain. I've tried to leave him alone in some ways. I mean, we've had post-game interviews and a little snippet here and a little snippet there, but I wanted him to get settled in with his team and figure out a little bit about what this team is and what they can do, and are they the same as last year? Are they better than last year? What kind of challenges are they going to have? So I finally had a chance to sit down with Nick Foligno and talk about those things.
Nick, how important is it to get back on track in this game against Buffalo? And not that you're that far off track, but two losses in a row, I'm sure you've had enough.
Yeah, no, it's a refocus game for us for sure. I think we've had two good days of practice, and I understand it's a big game to get back on track, like you said, where we've let it slip some areas in our game, and it's cost us. Usually we're a team that finds a way to win, and the other night that wasn't the case. We almost found a way to lose, and I think that's a little wake-up call for everybody in here to make sure we put our best foot forward on Wednesday, and there's no panic in this room. It's just, it's a good thing to go through early on in the season to get us right back on track.
Seemed like the practices, in some ways, were a little bit testy at times this week.
Yeah, they were. I think we're a proud team. I know we've grown, and we're a team now that understands that, every time we step on the ice, we expect to win, and that maybe hasn't been the case before. So the expectations are higher in this room. So you lose two in a row, and it doesn't sit well with anybody. So you saw that in practice, and the pace and the battle level and the compete level is higher because we know we have to be better. So I'm really proud of the group in here that took it upon themselves to get ready and make sure we're ready for this game.
And this game is a game that is going to be seen by not just people in the Columbus market, but this is a nationally televised game. And does that make any difference to you guys, the chance that you get to kind of showcase and you get to show everybody what you're all about?
The only difference is the 8 o'clock start. I wasn't really ready for that one. I heard that today, so I'm gonna have to, I don't know what I'm gonna do for an extra hour, but no, it'll be great. I think we're used to playing on big stages, and but it's always nice to be in a nationally televised game where people can see the brand of hockey that we bring, and I think we make a lot of fans out of people the way we play, and so it's always nice to showcase our city and our talents on a national level.
Yeah, this matchup has lost a little bit of luster for you, I'm sure, because your brother is no longer playing in Buffalo. That used to be one of the great things to look forward to three times a year.
Absolutely, but it'll still be nice to beat these guys. Always nice to beat my hometown team, so our birth team. You know, they're playing well. I think they had a tough start, but they've turned it around as of late, and they're a dangerous team, so we got to be ready for them, because and every team in this league is like that now. I mean, let's be honest, every game is hard, and we're getting every team's best, so we need to be ready for this game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you. Everybody is pretty much the same, but you just played a very good LA team. Now you've got a team on the other side that is coming off a game, and they're trying to get back to respectability because they, after the changes they made in the summer, they have a lot of high hopes.
Yeah, they're almost more dangerous. I mean, they have nothing to lose, and they're tooth and nail in it, knowing that every game is so important to get back in this thing. So we have to be a great start, be ready for this, and just play our game. You know, we stop worrying about everybody else, and get back to just worrying about us and who we are as a team, and that usually carries us through these games.
You're not only the captain, you're the ultimate team guy. There's been some holes at center. You've stepped in there. That's what you've been playing all this year. Are you enjoying that?
I am, actually. Yeah, it's been awesome. It's nice to be called my line, too. It's Torx that says Nick's line's up. I'm like, finally. Even though I was in the wing, I always said that, too. But no, you know what? It's just great. You have to fill in. Everybody would do that for this team, and I'm proud that they think of me in that light, that they want to put me in that position. They think I can do a good job, and I've tried to do that for them and for these guys. And you know, we're still working towards getting better every day, but I am, and I'm enjoying being in the center and having a lot of fun with it.
And typical Torts, as soon as things don't go right, he starts to mix things up a little bit, so it gives you a chance to play with some different guys.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's always the case. We're waiting to see some forwards on D at some point here, but
well, I've seen D on forward on this game.
Yeah, so that's how they work. I mean, it keeps everybody honest and knowing that you got to bring it every night, and that's something that we've known from day one with him, and just makes everybody accountable. And but you know, one thing about our team is you can play anywhere up and down the lineup. We don't look at it as we're, you know, 1-4 lines. It's just four solid lines, and that's how we're going to win these games.
Everybody can play everywhere, and I also want to ask you about the cohesiveness in this room for this team, because to me it seems different. I don't know if it's just what you went through as a group together last year and the couple little pieces that you added, but this team seems closer than a lot of teams that I've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think we say that all the time about our group, but this year I was really impressed with just the new faces and how quickly they've kind of amalgamated into this team and brought themselves in, and we've embraced them. We know how important it is to get these guys off the ground and running, and you know, with just the changeover that we've had, we picked up right where we left off, and if not, you know, gone further with just the camaraderie in the room, and it's nice to see. It's an important part of the game, how tight your room is and how bad you want to play for each other, and you can see that in every one of these guys.
I was wondering when Scott Hartnell left and Sam Gagner left how that was going to affect this room, and you know, that veteran presence, but it seems like you and Brandon Dubinsky and the guys that are considered veteran guys have just stepped right up. But did you have, over the summer, did you think about that at all? What's the chemistry going to be like? How's it going to change?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you think is those are two pretty strong characters. You know, Hartsey's the funny guy and the longtime veteran, and Sam's a really respected guy as well with his abilities on the ice and also his veteran leadership. And but then, you know, it gives a chance for other guys to step up. So I've really seen a huge leadership role in Matt Calvert, and Cam Atkinson's really pushed on. And you know, you got Seth Jones speaking more, and even Zach Werenski's taking it on himself, and David Savard. So I can go down the line of guys who have almost now thrived because those guys are no longer here. And you know, that's what you need. And you know, we continue as the leaders of the group to continue to push that along. But it helps when you have those guys take it upon themselves to know they got a bigger role here and have a little bit more of a say, but also need to show it on the ice, and they've done that. And so it says a lot about this group and the character we have, and we're picking up right where we left off.
Nick, thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's Blue Jackets captain Nick Foligno, born in Buffalo. That sounds like something that should be on a T-shirt, although I don't know how much you'd really be able to sell those T-shirts for. But Nick Foligno's hoping for a win over the Buffalo Sabres tonight. So what do we expect out of the Buffalo Sabres? What will we see out of the Sabres? Going to bring in right now Mike Harrington, who covers the Buffalo Sabres for the Buffalo News. And Mike, first of all, this offseason was a bit of a tumultuous one for the Buffalo Sabres. Owner Terry Pegula decided that even though he owed a lot of money to his general manager, Tim Murray, and his head coach, Dan Bylsma, that it was time for both of them to go. And instead, he brought in Jason Botterill as the general manager, Phil Housley coming from Nashville, where he was an assistant coach, now the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Was that a tough thing for Pegula to do, especially since they committed to those two guys long-term?
Well, I think Pegula really smartened up in a lot of ways. He did it with the Sabres and the Bills. He removed a scout from the GM's office and put an executive in there. He did it with Brandon Bean of the Bills, getting rid of Doug Whaley. He did it with the Sabres. He gets rid of Tim Murray, brings in Jason Botterill, who is a Michigan MBA, in addition to being a former player, in addition to having a tremendous hand in all that's gone on in Pittsburgh in the last few years. And I think Pegula didn't care about the money. I think he understood it was a reset. It was a change in philosophy, but he just felt it needed to be done. The culture here had really been tarnished, and they needed to make a fast change.
Has it been tough to deal with, not making the playoffs last year? You get Jack Eichel, and you watch what Connor McDavid has done. And I know that Edmonton has struggled this year, but last year they get into the playoffs, they win a little bit. You know, you had McDavid and Eichel, the 1-2 for the Buffalo Sabres fans. Is that kind of tough to swallow that McDavid has created all that hype and his team does get into the playoffs and the Sabres are still sputtering a little bit?
It's some of it, Bobby. You know what? I think this contributed to the firing of Tim Murray, the GM, was the growth of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's the one that really sticks in the Sabres craw, because most people feel the Sabres were a year ahead of the Leafs in their rebuild. And once the Leafs got Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, they leapfrogged past the Sabres. They get into the playoffs last year. They're, frankly, one of the Stanley Cup favorites this year. And the Sabres are still languishing where they are. That really is the one that bothers Buffalo fans to no end. And I think it bothered Terry Pegula, and I think it really contributed to Tim Murray's demise.
Well, they're coming off a nice 1-0 win last night at home over the Detroit Red Wings. You know, I was watching that game, and I was thinking, you don't see many 1-0 games anymore, right? I mean, everything's been 5-4, everything's wide open, lots of power plays. But that was kind of a throwback game, wasn't it?
It was, and the stats were funny. It was the first 1-0 win the Sabres have ever had over the Detroit Red Wings since they came into the league in 1970. The biggest thing I took away from that game was the composure the Sabres showed. There was no panic in the defensive zone. There was no panic from Robin Lehner in net. They preserved a 1-0 lead for almost 31 minutes. You know, as we like to say, they got the game to the garage. They got it home. First two-game winning streak under Phil Housley, first two-game winning streak of the year. They're now suddenly, after starting 0-4-1, really starting to get the panic mode, they're 3-1-1. They're starting to go in the other direction.
Talk about Phil Housley, hired to be the head coach this year. He was a guy whose name has been thrown around for a long time. He was there in Nashville and finally decided to pull the trigger. And, you know, on paper, that seems like such a great match because he's a former Sabre and he was so much in demand by a lot of people. But how important do you think he's going to be as this team develops, and especially as the defense of this team develops?
He's really been patient, and that's really a key. But I think even in the first 10 games, he's had to dial back the system a little. I think he learned. He doesn't have P.K. Subban and Roman Josi and Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis on the defense in Buffalo like he did in Nashville. Former first-round pick right out of a Minnesota high school in 1982 by Scotty Bowman. Played here for 8 years, so it was a natural choice. But, you know, he's still a first-year head coach, and we've seen a couple mistakes early on in games, you know, related to some things Housley has done. But he's pushing forward every night. He's worked them hard. He's backed off in some changes he made in the power play, which really hurt their power play. He's kind of dialed back the system a little. I think last night's game is really significant for Housley, showing he can adjust on the fly here and play it a little differently to match his personnel, because they can't run and gun the way he would like to, not yet at least, till they get better personnel in here. But they can play like they did last night, tighten things up, and win a close game.
When you talk about the changes he made on the power play, because it was creating problems, is that they've allowed a lot of shorthanded goals. Was that part of the problem?
part of it was the six shorthanded goals already allowed this season. They only allowed four all last year. So that's really a big difference. One of the reasons was they were playing four forwards and one defenseman. And there were just too many risks, too many mistakes being made, especially on the back end. So they went back to three forwards, two defensemen last night, and they almost gave up another shorthanded goal. Victor Antipin, the KHL defenseman they signed, had the puck bounce over his stick. It's kind of been a real, you know, thorn in their side at this point. But the other thing is there was confusion in the offensive zone at times. This was the number one power play in the league. They're still struggling. They had three goals in Vegas, but I think they only had three power play goals the whole rest of the season. They decided to get Sam Reinhardt back in front of the net, plant him there, create a little traffic instead of all this movement in the zone. And it does seem to be creating a little more sustained pressure.
Ryan O'Reilly, he's a guy that, you know, they got a couple of years ago in a trade, expected him to be a big piece. And now from the outside, and maybe I'm totally wrong on this, and you can tell me, there have been times that he has been underwhelming. But is he back to being what he needs to be for the Sabres team?
He really had a tough start to this year, Bob. You know, I think it was 1 point in the first four games. But we've seen now in three of the last four games, Ryan O'Reilly's been really good. He scored the overtime winner Saturday in Boston. He's doing a lot at both ends of the ice. He's winning 65-70% of his faceoffs in these games. And he is creating offensive opportunity, and that's what they need. Ultimately, you know, when you pay a guy that kind of money, $50 million, 52, whatever it was for his contract, I do need to see goals. I can't just get two-way game and, you know, face-off victories. I need to see goals and points, and we're starting to see that from Ryan O'Reilly. But is he going to be a 30-35 goal guy? Probably never, which was always my problem with the contract in the first place. But he still has to be one of their top three or four players. He wasn't early. He has been lately.
Talking with Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. The Sabres are here to play against the Blue Jackets tonight. Let me ask you about another guy. Now, see, I just completely lost my train of thought. Kyle Opposo. There it is. It's back. Kyle Opposo last year had a walk away for personal reasons. There were a lot of question marks with him. He's back this year. How big is that for this team?
It's big to have him back. He's still not where he needs to be. He doesn't have a goal yet. He disappeared, actually, in Columbus. He was reported to have had the flu, and it turned out he was dealing with concussion issues and had a reaction to medication that landed him in the neuro ICU unit of a Buffalo hospital. And, you know, the rumors and the chatter coming out of that was not good at the time. It was a scary situation, but they did get control of it in a few days. But he was done for the year. He came back, played some summer league hockey in Minnesota. And, you know, Okposo's a weird guy in terms of he even by his own admission said, I'm just skating around some of these games this year. He hasn't done much yet. There's been a couple games he had five shots on goal the other night. But they're still waiting to get him on track. He's one guy who should be that 25-30 goal guy who is stuck at zero, and he's in the second year of a 7-year, $42 million deal, and that certainly has albatross potential written all over it if he can't start producing.
No, absolutely, and especially in this day and age, the way the salary cap goes, I mean, you have to have those guys producing. And that's really, every GM is like that. I mean, your choices that you make and who you pay big bucks, you better be dead on, because if not, you're in trouble, and then they're contracts that are hard to get rid of.
And it's just July 1st money. I call it, regularly on Twitter, I call it stupid season. You know, and you hope that Kyle Okposo is not another stupid season example. He's a really good guy in the dressing room, but that only goes so far when you're not producing. And ultimately, this league is becoming about draft and develop. And the trade season isn't at the deadline. That's become rentals. Trades happen more at the draft than in July. And free agency just isn't where it's at most of the time. You really do need to work hard in your development aspects to get a team together. And I think, you know, we've seen that. There was a major trade in Columbus, but we've seen the Blue Jackets draft and develop. We've seen other teams at the top draft and develop. And that's what Jason Botterill is here in Buffalo to do. Look at some of the guys in Pittsburgh who came up from Wilkes-Barre, helped them win Stanley Cups, Matt Murray, Connor Sheary, Brian Rust, guys who've come up through their system. It's not all about Crosby and Malkin in Pittsburgh.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right. All those guys you mentioned, nobody even heard of, and then all of a sudden they were Stanley Cup champions for sure. You're right. That's how it's got to be done with the way you work your dollars now. You've got to draft and develop. So for the Blue Jackets fans that come to watch this game tonight against the Sabres, What do you expect they're going to see out of the Buffalo Sabres? And I would imagine that even though Leonard hasn't given up a goal in over 90 minutes, that you probably don't see him again. Would you expect them to go back-to-back with him?
I don't know. I think they may. He's been hot. I think they may want to ride if they don't play again until Saturday. I really think they look at three wins in a row as being significant. But if you're a home club and a home fan base watching Buffalo coming in, the most interesting thing to watch is Jack Eichel and Evander Kane. They have been lethal up front. Eichel with that incredible power skating stride. And Evander Kane has really done a great job this season getting the puck in the net, creating opportunities. He has been the offense for large segments of the season. Eichel, Kane, and Jason Pominville back from Minnesota have scored a lot of goals, and they're pretty fun to watch. You know, but if the Blue Jackets can shut those guys down, Buffalo's secondary scoring has really lacked and has been a problem.
Oh, you mentioned Jason Pominville. I still have nightmares of him wearing a Rochester Americans uniform from my time in Syracuse, and now he's back in the organization, but I'm sure he's very comfortable being back there.
He really is, and he came with Marco Scandella, and the funny thing with Scandella said Pominville was texting him and calling him all summer, telling him all about places in Buffalo and where he could live and restaurants to go eat because he was so enthusiastic about getting traded back from Minnesota, you know, involved in Buffalo's back-to-back Eastern Conference final teams in 06 and 07. Really enjoyed those days. Now, a different time in his life. He's 34. He's got kids and enjoying it again. And, you know, I don't think anybody expected Pominville to be a first-line player for the Sabres at this point in his career. But he has been to this point and on merit. He's been able to finish some of Jack Eichel's passes, which has been a problem the last 2 years, finding someone to put the puck in the net when Eichel set you up. Pominville's been doing that.
You know, it's funny you say that because the Blue Jackets are having a similar problem with Artemi Panarin. Just finding somebody. Now, he's playing with Alexander Wenberg and Cam Atkinson, but I feel like at times you've got Wenberg who is kind of shy to shoot the puck and Atkinson who's still trying to figure out how to receive the puck and to be ready to shoot the puck. So that does happen with superstars sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, you got to find the right guy that can figure you out so that it can be successful as a line.
And don't forget, Artemi Panarin was playing with Patrick Kane. You know, no offense to anyone the Blue Jackets have, they don't have Patrick Kane. And that's going to be an adjustment on all sides for Panarin to not get the puck from guys where he was getting it from Patrick Kane and to not put the puck in places where Patrick Kane was converting. So you get that top-end guy in there, people have to learn how to play with that top-end guy. People in Buffalo have had to learn how to play with Jack Eichel. And there are times I have felt Jack Eichel has been too unselfish. You know, he needs to be a little more selfish. They basically tanked an entire season to get him. He should be putting the puck in the net more, taking more of the shots. But he's been a terrific player in terms of his team. Those elite players, that is an interesting dilemma sometimes you run into.
Talking with Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. Before I let you go, you cover the whole league, not just the Sabres. So you're very much in tune with what's going on. What surprised you the most in these first 10 games of the season?
Well, there's three things. One is there's been a lot more offense than we've seen in the past, and we'll see if that's a trend or if it's just a little anomaly right now. The second thing is how bad the Montreal Canadiens are, how much Carey Price is struggling behind that defense. And then the third thing is I think we're getting to the point of the number one story in the entire league right now is the Vegas Golden Knights. I was out there last week. It's a terrific atmosphere. It's a great arena. Obviously, there's a lot more going on than just hockey and the weight of the tragedy that happened out there. But these guys are 7-1, and they've got some players. They were set up pretty well. Now, I know they have injuries in goal, but they just beat St. Louis and Chicago back-to-back. That's nothing to sneeze at. But let's see when Vegas gets on the road now, starting next week. Brooklyn, New York, Boston, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal. They got a 6-game trip. How do they do on that trip? But it's amazing to see an expansion team come out of the gate 7-1, and they are playing with a wave of emotion.
You know, I think I saw on Twitter you said they just won with some guy named Oscar Dansk. He's got 2 wins. You know, he was a Blue Jackets prospect. He was developed in this organization. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, you know what? I have to admit, I haven't been real good on my Blue Jacket goaltending prospects over the years. You know, Oscar Dansk was supposed to be in the minor leagues right now. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury was their guy. They ended up getting Malcolm Subban on waivers near the end of camp, and Fleury's out with a concussion. And, you know, I wondered, are the Blue Jackets going to dump one of these defensemen they have extra and make a deal for a goalie somewhere? They're probably just going to go with Oscar Dansk right now, the way things are going. I mean, he just beat the Chicago Blackhawks. So, you know, good for him and good for them. And you know what? It just shows you how ridiculous the Florida Panthers were dumping Gerard Gallant in the manner in which they did. The guy's a terrific coach. He's doing a great job in Vegas, and the record shows it.
You know, I've long joked, even before they had a team, that if Vegas were to have a team, their home record really should be 41-0. Just simply taking advantage of all the other teams going in there and having a good time. Do you think any of that's happening?
Mark Lazarus of the Chicago Sun-Times wrote a story yesterday about the Vegas flu. And he said the Blackhawks didn't suffer from the Vegas flu, but you wonder if there's some Vegas flu there. I mean, the Sabres had a day off. They didn't even practice the day before their games. They'd played 3 and 4 nights, and they came out in their game, and they were terrible. They were down 4-1. They tied it up with 3 goals in the last 10 minutes, lost in overtime. I think the Vegas flu plays into it tremendously, and you're right. I think, you know, we saw it in minor league baseball. I covered the Buffalo team. When they were in the American Association, it was called the New Orleans Rule. You had to win the first night in New Orleans because you knew what was going to happen the rest of the series. I think there's some of that in Vegas, too, and that's why I say when Vegas gets on the road, let's see how they do.
Well, I'm glad you picked Vegas as being the most surprising thing and not the New Jersey Devils because, you know, no offense, maybe they'll do okay, but I don't like to talk about the New Jersey Devils, so I'm glad you went the Vegas route.
Well, they've been good, too. They really handed it to the Sabres, but they got some top picks, and, you know, maybe Taylor Hall will finally be on a winning team, and Will Butcher, who almost signed with Buffalo, you know, looks terrific on that defense for New Jersey as well.
Once again, another hard pill to swallow when you see those guys go somewhere else and have success, isn't it?
It is. You draft and develop him. The Avalanche couldn't sign him. He goes into free agency. Buffalo almost gets him, signs with New Jersey. There's a lot of regret there about Will Butcher and a couple spots around the league right now.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. I know you're not making the trip to Columbus because you're like Lemieux back in the heyday. You don't do back-to-backs, right?
we do the schedule before the season. Yeah, you got to watch back-to-back the time, and I just came back from 8 days on the West Coast trip, so we parcel some of the trips out around our staff. But I always love Columbus, of course, minus the Cannon, and it's always great to see you guys there. And Bobby Mack, you and I go back to those Syracuse days, so it's always a good time.
Absolutely. So I look forward to seeing you in Buffalo in a couple of weeks. Mike, thanks very much, and hope to have you on again.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Take care.
And now with Mike Harrington out the door, I'll tell you about Talhio Credit Union. They think great things can happen when you challenge the norm. And at Talhio Credit Union, they believe banking is a tool for good. They think your money should help to finance your neighbor's house, maybe build a local business. Just imagine what we could do and what we could accomplish if everyone banked this way. Ready to challenge the norm? Talk to them before your next big purchase, before your next car loan, maybe your next mortgage. Join Talhio and learn to believe in banking again. Start at talhio.org. Talhio is open to everyone in central and southwestern Ohio. They're an equal housing lender and federally insured by NCUA. Blue Jackets and the Sabres head-to-head tonight at Nationwide Arena, a nationally televised game on NBC Sports Network, and that's why it gets underway at 8 o'clock. Now, if you don't want to listen to Doc Emmerich and Pierre McGuire and Mike Milbury and the like, I mean, if you want the true scoop on the Blue Jackets, if you want the best broadcast tonight, you're going to find it on the Blue Jackets Radio Network, and that includes the flagship station 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. I believe Jody Shelley is going to sit down with me tonight. He's got the night off. National TV, no local TV. So I believe Jody's going to sit down with me tonight, and we are going to bring this one to you, and it should be a good one. Looking forward to it. And on the national stage, what can the Blue Jackets do? We're going to find out at 8 o'clock tonight. 7:45 pregame coverage, by the way, starts on the radio network. You can also get the game at BlueJackets.com or through your phone on the Blue Jackets app. Until tonight, I'm Bob McKelligan saying so long. I'll talk to you.